All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's champion versus champion at UFC 254 when Khabib takes on Gaethje coming up this Saturday, October 24th. I got the names right, and then I stumbled on coming up. Special start time of 2 p.m. Eastern, only on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. UFC 254 is exclusively available on ESPN Plus for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. For a chance to win $10,000 plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Le Batard Show gang, it's simple. Text Le Batard to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See AdvanceAutoParts.com for all the details.
We will get to our looks like game with Tim Kirkchin here. The World Series Game 3 is tonight. Our thanks to John Smoltz for joining us earlier. But before we go to Kirkchin, let's go to Christine Lisi.
And finally, blue jeans are illegal in North Korea because they are a symbol of American imperialism. How about that?
Wow. Okay. Wow. Be careful with the politics, Christine.
We don't talk
politics.
I'll take it back.
Here. All right. You better be careful.
Also, get the NFC right because, you know, the Eagles are not tied for the NFC East lead.
They're
right?
tied in the wins column.
They are, but they're not technically tied. Oh. You know better than that, and I am keeping track.
Okay. Wow. See you later, Christine. Tim, I think we're going to enrage Tim Kirkchin right now. I think Stu Gatz and I are about to enrage him with a conversation that started with John Smoltz. We are not sure, Tim Kirkchin, and you help us out here because you've evolved with the times and you know data, you know numbers, you know excellence in your sport especially.
I'm nervous.
I'm scared too. We don't think that Ozzie Smith could have played today.
Oh no.
We don't think that Ozzie Smith,
the wizard
would have been a shortstop that anybody would use today. Are we wrong?
Yeah. Yes, Dan, you're wrong. He is the greatest defensive shortstop of all time. And given the importance of that position, you can make a case that he's the greatest defensive player of all time at any position. He would not be revered or looked at the same way because he hit a lot of balls on the ground and everything else, but he would play on every team today, any team today, because he was that brilliant defensively.
Tim, if you could go through today the Hall of Fame and reevaluate everyone that's been inducted and remove someone based on what's valued today, who would you take out of the Hall of Fame?
Ozzie.
I would not take Ozzie Smith out of the Hall of Fame.
It's an offensive liability, Tim.
Tim, yeah, come on. Quit slapping the ball around, wizard. How about you hit one over the fence once in a while?
Look, I understand what you guys are saying, and I'm not real happy about the fact that the game has evolved to the point where the greatest defensive player at any position, potentially, would not be as valued as much today. But I totally understand that. All right, to answer the question, boy, that's really hard. I really don't like taking a Hall of Famer and saying he's not a Hall of Famer. I will just tell you that Harold Baines is the only player in the Hall of Fame that I did not vote for to go into the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Okay?
Yep.
So every other guy who went in during my time as a voter, every other guy that went in, I voted for him. So there isn't anyone in the Hall of Fame that I didn't vote for except for Harold Baines. So I guess that's the answer. And yet that guy, without a couple of work stoppages, would have had 3,000 hits and would have been a Hall of Famer.
We've enraged. We clearly enraged Tim Kirkchin. I didn't think I was going to be able to do this, but I'm going to be able, I think, to link yesterday's show with Dick Vitale to today's show. The only memorable home run that Ozzie Smith ever hit, was it off of Tom Niedenfuhr? Was it off of Dick Vitale's neighbor, Tom Niedenfuhr?
Yes. It was the only home run he had hit to that point in his career as a left-handed hitter. And it was the famous Jack Buck call, go crazy, folks, go crazy, folks. You know, the Cardinals win on the home run by the Wizards. One of the great calls of all time. But, yes, that was Ozzie Smith's most famous home run. He didn't hit many. but it was also his first left-handed home run as a major league player.
It was his only postseason home run.
I mean, he didn't hit home runs. He couldn't play today, Tim. Like,
you can't. Look, I know you're trying to upset me, and you already have.
We know.
Okay? But there are outliers here, okay? Defense is still valued today. We have all these crazy numbers on defensive zone ratings and everything else. You don't think Ozzie Smith would have fared well on those? He would have broken all the records. He had the greatest range of any shortstop I've ever seen. He was an absolute magician around the bag. But it doesn't matter anymore if you're a magician around the bag because we changed the rules where you're not allowed to
That's
slide.
Right.
To second
That's
anymore.
Right. That's,
he wouldn't play today, Tim.
Tim, it's all the rules have changed so he couldn't play today.
Nobody would want him. I mean,
adding to your argument is terrible. Yes, I agree.
I just looked at his offensive numbers. He sucks. Like, he was not good offensively.
You figure, Bill, no power. You figure he's an average hitter. No. Career 263.
OPS is bad.
Tim, he couldn't hit.
Yes, he could hit. He was a better offensive player than you thought he was. He never struck out. And even though he rarely walked, he stole bases. He scored runs. I can't believe I have to defend Ozzie Smith. This is terrible.
What does that mean, Tim? He's better than you. We're looking at his numbers. He wasn't.
But he played at a time where the goal of the game was to get a hit. It's no longer the goal of the game to get a hit. The Reds this year had more walks than singles. Think about that. That's never happened in a season. Now, granted, it was only a 60-game season. We met the five lowest team batting averages ever to make the postseason happened this year, all in the same year. We don't care about getting a hit anymore. All we want to do is hit the ball out of the ballpark. I'm just saying that Ozzie Smith got 2,500 hits. And, yes, it's not valued like it used to be, but I'm saying today's style of play is not a preferred style of play. And Ozzie played at a time where you beat the ball into the AstroTurf and ran as fast as you could to first, and then you stole second. That's how it worked back then. So you can't punish him for playing in an era where his style was really encouraged. It's different now, but he would be different than everyone else here because they would say, hit it to the shortstop. He's great.
The most hits he got, though, was 180, and he did that once. After that, it was 160. It's 2,500 hits, but in 19 seasons, I mean, geez.
Be careful, Bill.
Be careful, Bill.
Look, you guys told me Hank Aaron was a compiler. I almost hung up the phone.
I never
Hammer
said
Hank.
That. I would never.
No,
I would
this
never.
Time we're serious.
I would
Ripken
never.
Was. Ripken was. Ripken, don't get started.
No, but Timmy, this time we're serious. I mean, he played 18 seasons, had 28 home runs, and he batted 300 once. No one wants him.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Can we talk about something else, please?
Okay, I've got something here. All right, so does Gardner Minshew look like the line cook at a Waffle House who does tattoos as a side hustle in order to pay off the Kenwood car stereo speakers currently on layaway for him at Walmart? Does Dallas Braden look like an overall-wearing yokel of a rural Arkansas town who spends most of his time playing the banjo outside of the town's only gas station? Does Adams...
When we were in Williamsport, Dallas took an Uber to Reptile Land.
Wait a minute, what?
Of course he did.
Wait a minute, what happened?
When we were in Williamsport, Dallas took an Uber to Reptile Land just to take a look at the place. Since it was Williamsport, he called for an Uber to return him, and they said, we'll be there in 4 hours.
That's so Braden.
He got trapped in Reptile Land.
Does Mike Leach look like the head nun of a Catholic school? That is good. Does Andy Reid look like the guy who has his picture up on the steakhouse wall for being the only one to ever finish their famous 50-ounce ribeye called the Belt Breaker? Does Jeff Passan look like a really, really nice vampire? Does Adam Silver look like the trail of dissipating smoke from a blown-out birthday candle? Does Adam Silver look like a paper towel holder? Does Adam Silver look like a straightened-out paperclip? Does Adam Silver look like the tall Slurpee straw from 7-Eleven?
I love Slurpees.
Yeah, Slurpees are wonderful. Thank you. We appreciate talking Game 3 with you, Tim. We'll talk to you next week.
Now to the good stuff.
Advance Auto Parts, people. Tom Niedenfuhr, 2 days in a row.
That's great.
I can't believe we're saying this. I think people might side with us on the Ozzie Smith argument.
I think Tim does.
I think we got to call some more baseball people here.
Don Lebatard.
I have a child.
Stugatz.
Farts smell worse when you need to make a poopy.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive, celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and the Big Suey on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate.
Conversational. Conversational. Billy, what's on the Mystery Crate? What did you guys do on Mystery Crate? Conversational, Stugatz.
Sorry, sir.
On the latest episode of Mystery Crate, I'm going to toss it over to Tony.
Dan, it was Bachelor with the Boys. Bachelorette with the Boys is back. Charlie Kravitz, Juju Gotti, myself, and Chris Cody discussed the first couple episodes.
Nice.
Mike, is Juju Gotti going to be running the account this weekend? Is that something that
I've just broken it to Juju Gotti then. Yes, he is.
Okay, very good. So Juju Gotti is running the account for us this week and all the accounts for us. I can't believe it's taken me this long to get where it is we're about to go.
Let me conversationally say it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Thank you, Stugatz. We're going to have Chris Jericho in about 10 minutes. He continues to thump Colin Cowherd over the head. So Chris Jericho returns, Le Champion. I like what he's doing in wrestling. I mean, we'll get to that in a second with Chris Jericho. But Billy said something here, and I can't believe he didn't say it earlier, because he said, I can relate to Daniel Jones. What happened to him last night happened to me. And I don't know what the rest of that story is, but I have to hear it. If you do not know what happened to Daniel Jones, he had the longest non-scoring run by a quarterback in the history of the sport, 80 yards, because he tripped 5 yards behind everyone else. He was faster. It was a great, impressive moment, and then everyone was laughing at him.
He was 7 yards ahead of the closest defender, started the trip on the 25, landed on the 10, rolled to the 6.
No one near him. It should have been a beautiful 90-something yard touchdown run, and it wasn't, because he just tripped. And Billy, when did that happen to you? What happened to you?
Well, it wasn't the exact same thing. And I saw, you know, on the Twitter, everybody was putting out the things and laughing, running into 2020, liking the dots and like GIFs and memes and all that stuff, right? With what's going on with Daniel Jones. And I couldn't help but feel bad for him, because it happened to me, not in the exact same situation. I've never been an NFL player, but it happened to me in a situation on this very show. And I'll explain to you how it happened. What was going through Daniel Jones's mind there is he realized, I'm running out of gas. I see the finish line, and I don't know that I'm going to get there. And he started running harder than his legs could take him. So the top half of his body was moving faster than the bottom half of his body, and he just collapsed. And that very same thing happened to me a few years ago when I was racing the Freeze. I saw the finish line ahead of me. I could not possibly believe that I was still ahead of the Freeze. And I was like, I just need to get there, but I have absolutely nothing left in the tank. So I was just trying to will my body past that finish line. And to this day, I still have a scar on my hand to remind me of the time that I beat the Freeze and completely fell on my face and embarrassed myself, got what I believe is still a piece of the, you know, warning track turf underneath my hand.
That will stay with you forever, Bill.
Oh, no, it will. It's a scar. This will never leave my hand. There it is. You can see it right there.
He came so close to chasing you down. He came, but he was running out of gas, too.
It was, I still don't know how that happened, but that exact same thing happened to me where I was like, this isn't going to end. Let me just get there. And just my body gave up on me. I banged my shoulder. I was black and blue on my side, but hey.
That looks like an actual nightmare that someone would have.
But I mean, you know what else looks like a nightmare? Because they were just showing the Daniel Jones play. And what was funny is the physical appearances of the giant men on his own team laughing at it, because they're just enormous human beings and they're roaring with like a throaty gladiator Viking roar at the fact that their quarterback just stumbled toward the finish line. Billy, if that race had been five more yards,
you
would have lost and you would have fallen at the end the same way, like three feet short of the finish line.
But Billy has great form as a runner. He has tremendous form as a runner.
If that thing would have gone to the end of like the foul line instead of like, you know, middle of the, you know, left field or right field, I would have been the Braves bro that you see there with the, you know, the socks halfway up and the shorts. It's pumping up the crowd, and then the freeze passes him and he totally eats it and loses by 10 yards. It would have been me.
5 yards and you would have lost. What was the distance of that race? It was just the warning. It was from from foul pole to foul pole.
It was very long, and thank God I won, because on top of the fall, it would have been the fall losing on my face in the dirt with that skin tight bodysuit that I decided was a good idea to wear to race the freeze.
Chris Jericho joins us next.
Dan Le Batard.
Bleep yeah! Bleep yeah!
Stugatz.
Bleep no! Bleep no!
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. This is amazing. Jericho is back again.
Le Champion.
Unbelievable. Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not so outrageous prices.
We will get to him in just a second. He's making you money, Le Champion. Yeah. Christine Lisi, though, please go and continue.
And finally, when mating, the male octopus tears off his arm, which doubles as a sex organ, mates with it, and then swims off to die.
Wow.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Happy Friday.
Okay, yeah, all right. I mean, goes out a hero. So, Jericho, congratulations. We'll get to the games in a second. So far, our celebrities are 17-13. Jericho went 3-2 last week after a 1-4 showing. So basically, he's 4-4 over the last 2 weeks, and he's got to do better. We need him to do better. But Jericho, I love what you guys are doing. You have gone full on ham as champion over there. I saw a video the other day of you like dancing around a table, singing like a show tune from the 50s. Like, and I love how you embrace that cheese, like the heavy metal rock star that you are.
Well, I mean, the thing with wrestling, and what I do is always try and push the boundaries of what the kind of the tropes are in the business. So when we had this idea and we said we're going to go have a steak dinner, and it says, a steak dinner, are you kidding me? I wanted to make it seem like it was the most, you know, revelational thing ever. And everyone's like, oh, it's just going to be a food fight, or what are they going to do? Meanwhile, the whole time, I knew what we were going to do, and that's something that had never been done before in wrestling. Me and my shadow with MJF and myself, and we sang it ourselves, and we choreographed the dance routine with the cheerleaders from the Jaguars, and it definitely turned the business on its head, shall we say.
So funny. Okay, I want to talk about this for a second. Like, how long did that bit, did you have to perform that bit?
Well, the thing is, it's funny, because when you're in this business, it's very much guerrilla filmmaking. So, you know, if that was a Hollywood production, it probably would have taken 4 or 5 days to get that down. If it was Saturday Night Live, you rehearse it for 6 days. We rehearsed it basically for about an hour and then recorded it over the course of 6 hours. And then the next day, it was on Tuesday night, the next day we had to edit it. We had some issues, some technical problems, some legal problems. So we got that thing signed, sealed, and delivered to the truck, shall we say, 22 minutes before it aired.
So hold on.
So that's what people don't know about live TV.
So wait, did Sinatra's estate have to approve the music? Is that what the delay was?
Well, it's a little bit more intricate than that. But yes, I mean, we've been working on this for a month when I had the idea, like, who's the publisher? And then you have to go track it down. And, like, not to get too far deep in the weeds, but it's not Sammy and Frank's song. They just sang it. Someone else wrote it. Who's the publisher? You know, some old school Hollywood guy, 80 years old, like, well, professional wrestling? No way we're not using Frankie's song.
That's a great 80-year-old right there.
He's a great guy who was 80 years old. He sounded like Hollywood show business in the 50s there, that guy. Now, so hold on. Explain this to me, because do you hear from other wrestlers who are like, what are you doing? Like, what are you? You're turning it on its head. I'm laughing. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, wow, he's spoofing the whole thing. But do you have, like, Hulk Hogan calling you? Like, what are you doing?
Well, the thing is, and it wasn't even spoofing. I mean, we took it very seriously, and that's why it works. Any type of comedy that I do, you play it straight. And it was very Blues Brothers influenced, if you've seen that movie, where they're doing something, and then out of nowhere, this giant song and dance breaks out. And then as soon as it's over, they go back to what they were doing and don't acknowledge it at all. That's the humor of it. And if you look at the way I grew up in 80s WWF, they were doing things like the Slammy Awards. I remember watching Vince McMahon singing Stand Back with Hulk Hogan on bass and dancing girls, and Vince is wearing this ridiculous powder blue tuxedo. So that's kind of how I was born into the business. So I've always had that element, and everything that I do has a little bit of that wink behind it, which is maybe why people consider a lot of my stuff so entertaining, because I don't take myself seriously, but I always play it straight. And I always make sure whether you like the segment or whether you didn't like it, you can't deny the fact that it was good. It was well done, well performed. If you hate song and dances in your wrestling, I get it. You can't say that you're lucky and out of time again.
I mean, it's such an important diluter. If you hate song and dance with your wrestling, who is the wrestler most likely to be appalled that you would even try that as an entertainment and as a comedic vehicle? Like, is there a wrestler out there who would take himself or the sport too seriously and think that you're just being disrespectful?
I mean, I really don't know, because in this day and age, wrestling has become so many different things. There's some of your old school punks that hate everything that we do anyways, but anybody, like, I'll tell you who would love it, Vince McMahon. Anybody in the WWE would understand what we're doing. They might not care for it, but they're going to understand it's always been part of our business. Always been part of our world, and that's one thing I enjoy doing. Like, I've had, you know, 2,700 wrestling matches times, you know, 10 bumps per match. You know, that's a lot of falling and getting thrown around. So when I get a week when I just get to do a song and dance, you know, I think that's a pretty good way to continue, you know, your longevity in the business.
Jericho, you're going to be 50 next month. I don't mean to bring up a sore topic, but you're going to be 50 next month. How much longer do you plan on doing this?
Well, it's not a sore topic because, you know, that's the funny thing. I think creatively and even physically, I'm working just as well as I always have. So I never looked at it as how long. 4 years or 5 years ago, I might have thought I was done then. And then I had kind of had this whole new rebirth with AEW and just being able to really contribute. Any idea that I have, we can do. Like you just saw this week with the dinner debonair, as we called it. The moment I stop being creative, or maybe the moment I feel like I can't work up to the level that I've set for myself, well, then I'll bow out. But until then, who knows, man? I just know that I've been completely reinvigorated over the last year because of AEW, and there's no reason to think of it stopping because it's just too much fun.
AEW Dynamite Wednesday nights, Le Champion, you could catch him there. Chris Jericho with us. He is doing the Celebrity Prognosticator. The lines are provided, as always, by Caesars William Hill.
And now it is time for Celebrity Prognosticator. Let's win some money.
The Saints, a 7-point favorite against Carolina at home. Who you got?
I'm going with the Saints.
Atlanta, 2.5-point favorite at home against Detroit. Who you got?
I'm going to do Detroit. Detroit Rock City.
Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Tennessee, that's the game. You've liked Big Ben. Big Ben has carried you to 1-4 and 3-2 the last 2 weeks. Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Tennessee minus one. Who you got?
I mean, sooner or later, they're gonna get a loss, but not this week. I'm going with Pittsburgh again.
Green Bay at Houston. Houston, a 3.5-point dog at home. Who you got?
Going with my bro Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Seattle at Arizona. Arizona, 3.5-point dog at home.
Me and Duff McKagan are taking the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. Duff McKagan, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it, Chris.
I should start getting a stipend for doing this. I've been on so much. I'm making all you guys money.
Yes,
the highlight of the week. And I'm going to see you next week.
I mean, you're 4-4.
Once again. 5-0 once again this week, just like last week.
I lost on juice, to be honest with you. I mean, college is having a bad year.
4-4 the last 2 weeks. Chris Jericho, Chrissy the Greek, thank you for being on with us.
Chrissy the Greek, baby. I'll see you guys next week.
See you, man.
Believe it.
All right.
And hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
What happened there?
He started singing. He started doing. We were going to get a whole performance. Oh God.
Get it back.
It's laugh out loud funny. They're trying to do it a little more sacrilegious than Vince does it. Like they are their storylines. They're writing. They're actually trying to be creative. It's interesting.
It's really hard to do something we've never seen before in wrestling. The construct, everything is born out of a previous angle. To do something you've never seen before is really impressive.
Don Lebatard.
It's Friday. I'm getting into the weekend. I want to get my drink on.
Stugatz.
We've got to open up the club. Open it. Open it. Open it. Now. What is the computer buffering? There it is.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life.
So I am told by Stugatz and Gojo that during the college football game last night, Gojo made a mistake of some sort. What was the mistake that he made?
I think he threw it back to the play-by-play guy who said, thank you, Matt, instead of Mike, and Mike just blurted out stupidity.
Okay, so he just yelled stupidity. I like that as product placement on what it is that we're doing around here. We're going to open up the club in a second, but before we do that, I just want to marvel at something happening with Stugatz because it's been happening for weeks. And in this industry, you guys might know that it is hard to be at the trough and come up with a place to stake your ground where you can be unique and different than everyone else. It can be a difficult thing. Nick Wright has done some good work on LeBron, where he has distinguished himself as a place to go if you want to love LeBron even more than you already love LeBron. But Stugatz has decided that his place, the place where he wants to plant his flag, he's been doing this for 3 weeks to a month, is on that Bengals-Eagles tie and how important it's going to be. He's been talking about it nonstop. Anytime someone mentions anything, he goes back to his analysis of the NFC East by saying, that's going to end up being an important tie. I own that comment.
I love a good tie, and sometimes people underestimate the value of a good tie. And I'm telling you, everyone blasted Doug Peterson about
it's
not
just,
trying to win that game.
It's such a weird thing.
I know, but
I don't understand what you're doing. Where you want to be the guy in 2020 who gets behind the tie. The tie NFL game. Like, I don't understand why this has become an obsession for you. And he's going to be right, of course. At the end of the season, somebody's going to have to say, you know, that Bengals-Eagles game, that tie was important in retrospect.
You want to know why they're in first place right now? Because of the tie. You want to know why they'll be in first place if Dallas loses this weekend?
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me?
Well, I don't know. You're right. It's weird.
Every week you come in here and you keep talking about the tie. We're in a confined space. It's a pandemic. It's a crazy time.
It's all I got.
And you just keep coming in telling me the Bengals-Eagles tie. That was really important, Dan. Like, leave me alone.
No, but at the time of the tie, no one realized
that. Just leave me alone. You realize it. You're the only one who realized it. You get the take. It's an important take. I'm glad you have it.
All right, good.
God almighty. Just stop. Just stop talking about the tie.
It was a big tie. That's all I'm saying.
Mike Ryan, let's go. Open up the club. Little later than usual today. 8:51 on the West Coast. We open up the club. It's unbelievable. It really is. It used to be an afternoon show. This used to be happy about. Never mind. Bunch of sounds from the work week and beyond. What do we have?
Win the damn game.
Mike.
I did. I bored myself explaining that joke again. I did. I bored myself. What else you got?
GTFO.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so many of you. TGFO. Yeah.
GTFO.
What else you got back there?
Mike, he doesn't get any run support. It's at 3.6 runs per game.
Okay, you got to hang tough there.
Only seven starters in baseball.
Don't allow it.
Listen, hit it.
So good. It is so good. Hang tough. An incredulous Frank Isola. Who else in the club?
There's a guy who hits his name Randy Arozarena. Every time he takes a swing, it is a thing. It's cosa buena. Running around the bases, he's as fast as a hyena. Arozarena. Aye.
Jeff Passan, I don't think, is a breakout personality star at this network. I don't think that people realize that underneath that journalistic, hardcore baseball skin is a vaudeville performer. That's Jeff Passan doing the same Ray's song as Elmo. As Elmo. Prestigious journalist. Jeff Passan. Impeccable credentials. Professional standard bearer for the industry. Tomorrow's Kirkshin. The highest compliment I can give. He's tomorrow's Kirkshin. Who else is in the club?
One of my biggest mistakes ever made was the day that we had that situation. I don't know about you guys. I felt so bad. To tell you the truth, because that's not me.
People were genuinely moved by that, Stugatz, yes. That you buried the hatchet with Dick Vitale yesterday.
I got fired in the NBA because my backcourt looked like you two suckers.
That is Tom Niedenfuhr's neighbor.
I hit a grand slam. I did more than a home run.
Whoa. Who else in the club? Lorenzo had gotten the date wrong on when it is PTI celebrating its 20th anniversary. Lorenzo, I called Kornheiser yesterday. He was telling people it was their 20th anniversary because you got the date wrong.
The big 1-9.
Celebrated their 19th anniversary.
This is literally the worst way to ever do this. This is burning my heart that this is happening. But if you could hear me, just understand I'm sorry.